Hey, it's John St. Augustine. Like it or not, I was minding my own business, participating in the national pastime of zipping through hundreds of channels, stopping for a nanosecond here and there when something or someone would catch my eye. I darted past CNN mostly because I'm afraid of the crawl, you know, that crawl on the bottom of the screen that they run underneath every show that shatters my mind into little pieces as I try to listen to the interview while also reading breaking news that scrolls on the bottom of the screen like a never-ending electronic catheter at the same time as watching the shows. It's a near impossible task. What made me stop was Michael Smirkonish, the Philadelphia-based talk radio host that has a weekend gig on CNN. And for the record, I like Smirkonish's style and his delivery. He's persistent but fair in his interviews. He maintains an air of decency, which isn't often found in the media. So when I saw the headline on the banner underneath his show that actually said, "Patent rules against the Redskins," I stopped. I scanned. I stopped again. And then I went back and I listened. Smirkonish was interviewing a young man named Simon Moya Smith, who is a citizen of the Ogallala Lakota Nation and holds a master's degree in journalism from Columbia College. They were discussing the ruling that stripped the NFL Washington Redskins of the patent that they have held for years that basically allows them to make serious coin off merchandise. The conversation was about a bigger issue, however, that the term Redskin is a racial slur and it's derogatory to Native Americans. Backing that up is a recent poll of Native Americans that found 29% of them said that pro sports like Indians, Braves, Chiefs, Blackhawks, Utes, and Chippewas, those names are being used in such a way that harms their cultural heritage. Smirkonish pointed out that once before the patent was dropped due to protests, but it was overturned, and the odds of it happening again were about 50-50. His guest, Moya Smith, countered that this problem of exploiting Native Americans has been going on for years, but with social media and racial awareness, this time the ruling just might stick. To be clear, it has nothing to do with changing the team's name. This thing has to do with simply controlling merchandise. That's what the patent process is all about. Near the end of the interview, Smirkonish asked Moya Smith how far he would go with the eradication of team names and mascots. Moya Smith said, and I quote, "All of them. Empirical study has proven that Indian mascots harm the mental health of Native American children. They report to have low self-esteem, a limited sense of social worth, and do not believe they can accomplish as much as students from other racial and ethnic backgrounds," end quote. Wait a minute. The rampant drug and alcoholism, along with high suicide rates in the Native population, are due in part to the fact a football team is called Redskins, or a hockey team is called Blackhawks, or a baseball team is called Indians? Watching any of the hundreds and hundreds of college, high school, and local teams that have Native American connotation is somehow ruining these kids and damaging their sense of self-worth? Decades of moral decay and sense of hopelessness that has been handed down from generation to generation is all because of the name of a football team? I had to throw a penalty flag for you gotta be kidding me. And after further review of this empirical study of a paper called, and I quote, "The Harmful Psychological Effects of the Washington Football Mascot," end quote, which is basically a research report commissioned by the Oneida Nation and published by Michael Friedman, Ph.D., concludes this, and I quote from the study, "Thus, overall, images of Native American mascots, even those that are deemed by Native American people themselves as neutral or positive, result in harmful psychological effects. Not only do mascots have a direct effect on Native American self-esteem, mood, community confidence, and a sense of achievement, but they also perpetuate negative associations of and attitudes towards Native Americans among non-Native American groups," end quote. Now I know why PhD is sometimes offered as piled high and deep. Native American mascots, even the ones that Native Americans think are neutral or positive, still harm them without them knowing it? But in the name of an empirical study, let's do this. The Washington Redskins agree to change their name to, say, let's say, the Washington Senators, which was actually used a long time ago in baseball, but the term senator actually might now be more offensive to the majority of Americans given their current approval rating. But let's change the name for 5 years, okay? Along with that, every other team in any sport anywhere that has any connection or connotation to Native American name also changes for the same period of time. So based on Friedman's compiled studies and findings, then the self-esteem of Native American youth should show significant increase in how they feel about themselves now that they don't have to see those images anymore. There should be a groundswell of positivity all over the nation. In the meantime, the DC team can put on offensive images of Ted Cruz or Rand Paul or Dick Durbin on the side of their helmets instead of the current offensive logo. Or wait, they could put Rush Limbaugh's mug on the helmet as he's convinced that Obama is somehow behind this anyway. And of course, we all know how well L. Rushbo did on Monday Night Football. What was it he said? Oh yeah, I quote, "I think the media is desirous that a black quarterback does well. I think McNabb, who was the Eagles quarterback, got a lot of the credit for the performance of his team that he really did deserve," end quote. The man can sniff out a racial slur a mile away, but I digress. So the next 5 years, let's go with the Cleveland Clinics, the Chicago Blackbirds, the Atlanta Waves, and the Kansas City Cows, just to name a few of the bigger offenders, and once and for all, finally give Native American youth the chance to cultivate high self-esteem, unencumbered by these hideous and insulting images of power and culture that have held them back for so long. The term Redskin is derogatory, no doubt of that, and it's offensive to a race of people that deserve to have been treated better over the years than they have been. Some of my closest friends are Native American, who, by the way, think this is a pile of crap, and their teachings and traditions have changed my life for the better, and I have nothing but respect for who they are as human beings that come bearing great gifts of wisdom and spirituality. Let me be clear. I have no problem putting pressure on a team to do away with a defined racial slur that offends instead of enhances, and the term Redskin is offensive to the dignity of Native American people. However, what's more offensive to me is putting young people from any race or background into a column marked victim based on answering a set of questions on a poll that would somehow determine if a decal on a football helmet or a high school team named Braves could prevent someone from becoming their best self. Really? As Viktor Frankl said, life is never made unbearable by circumstances, but only by lack of meaning and purpose. And he should know. Frankl survived the Nazi death camps and figured out that the last true freedom is our thought. His experiences didn't hold him back from becoming a giant in the world of self-improvement, human development, and a best-selling author. Scrap all of the offensive sports names and teams and mascots. I'm all for it. And when nothing changes for the young Native American population that are currently so traumatized by the South Howland Thunderbirds or the Escanaba Eskimos, then what? Will the alarming high suicide rate among Native American youth that has skyrocketed up 65% in the past decade suddenly plummet if the Warwick Warriors become the Warwick Weasels? Perhaps another empirical study on the subliminal effect that the Cincinnati Reds are having on our core democratic values. You know, red means communist. Consider the world's greatest athlete, Jim Thorpe, who was of mixed blood, Fox and Sauk Indian, and he also claimed European and Native American heritage. He was an Olympic gold medalist, a professional baseball, football, and basketball player who used his raw talent and ability to stun the world. He was born into a hardscrabble life long before anyone ever heard of the Washington Redskins. He endured and overcame racial stereotypes and slurs, people spitting in his face long before Jackie Robinson. Thorpe broke all barriers and boundaries, regardless of what they were, and he leaned on his Native American name, Wa-Tho-Hook, which means bright path, to prove that it's not what happens to you in life that matters, but how you respond to it that counts. You know something? You don't need an empirical study for that, just common sense, which apparently isn't very common after all.